KFNC.
You have my curiosity.
Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Now you have my attention.
ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? What a way to beat the rain, and we'll keep you from going insane. Might even add a little humor to your day. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, it's The Usual Suspects, it's ESPN 97.5 as we roll into a hump day. As we also have a Way Back Wednesday.
Yeah. What did you, what songs did you choose?
Because I
was a bit confused on the theme. So can you guys clarify what the theme is? I mean, I'm turning my list in as we speak, but
I think what happened is you threw out the 60s.
I said 60s rock.
So I just did pre-70s anything.
Because Joel couldn't come up with 8 60s rock songs.
Is that could. Why? I could, but I actually had at least a couple songs in mind, or at least an artist in mind, and it's still screwed with that. But I just thought, instead of just limiting it to rock, and then, of course, we predated Nick's birth by going into pre-70s.
Dude, anything in the 80s is predating his birth.
I mean, right, he got defensive with me. I was like, are you? He goes, I got 3 songs. I go, well, I mean, I was sympathizing with him. Well, I mean, it was all pre-birth.
Like,
and he goes,
sympathizing.
I know, that's why I only got 3.
Well, Google it, bitch.
Well, that's what I was doing.
Good.
Jeez.
So you came up with a list of 8?
Halfway done.
I have a feeling I'm going second.
No, I can get it done by the second.
I have a feeling I'm going first again, which means I just lost another song. That's fine.
Again?
Last week was the same thing.
I can go first.
No, I did. I went first last week.
Did he?
I can go first then.
And then you guys made fun of my list.
Well, yeah, because it sucked.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see about it this time.
The judge and jury may have thought it sucked.
All I know is mine kicks ass. I just can't validate if every song is going to be prior to 1970.
Oh, it's a violation.
Well, take it up with the proper authorities. I'm doing the best I can do over here. I'm not looking all these up.
Since the proper authority is you, we can't. Yeah, it's really hard to take it up with anybody. That's for sure.
Good time.
So about as good a time as the Golden State Spurs game. And by the way,
did I miss anything? Because I didn't watch it. So I stayed here, went to open mic. And ended up, I thought I would be out early. I ended up having to close out the open mic, so I had to stay there a while. So I pretty much missed most of the game.
You missed nothing.
I didn't feel like I would. They had the TV on in the lobby at the Houston Improv, and every once in a while I'd check in, and it was just an ass whooping.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, unless you're the Rockets, San Antonio's a different team without Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
About the only Unless thing adventurous rocket. In the whole game was the fact that Aldridge pulled a Zsa Zsa Pachulia at one point, and Durant didn't catch it square, so he didn't roll the ankle, but he kind of fell off of it, and everybody's like, oh, what's Popovich going to say now? I mean, look.
Yeah.
Everybody was betting that, you know, there was going to be revenge and the Spurs were going to come. Look, you can't compete with a team as talented as Golden State when you are missing your best player. And then everybody else around you, including Aldridge, went back to being passive Aldridge. So Simmons was the only guy that could put the ball in the basket, and you're going, I just watched the Astros. I flipped back and forth, too. I was like, this is terrible.
Good choice.
Yeah. And by the way, they're winning again today.
Yeah. 3-0 now, right?
Yep.
Good for them. Rolling.
Yeah, so you had Astros.
I did get to watch the draft.
I just checked in to see what the picks were.
I literally had walked out. Oh, look, I just said literally. I walked out right as they were doing the drawings, and I was just crossing my fingers that the Lakers pick would be 4. I just wanted it to, because it wasn't at top 3 protected.
Yes.
So I wanted it to be 4 just to stick it to the Lakers.
And now he's going to go to the Lakers.
Yeah.
Ball is going to go to the Lakers. Now his dad is already saying he's not going to work out for anybody else but the Lakers. And the whole soap opera continues because he's only, you know, he only wants to be at home. I would love someone to make a trade with Boston. And just someone said this morning, it would be outstanding if like Paul George was traded for the number one pick and he went to Indiana.
I'd like to see Ball go somewhere worse.
Detroit?
Like Minnesota or just a place where there's no media, where it's not a big deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm just thinking. And also Detroit, maybe, and the team sucks.
Yeah, that would be great. Just because I'm a hater, I'm just specifically on him. But yeah, if he could just go to like basketball Siberia, that'd be pretty cool.
It would.
But he's not. He's going to go to L.A. and it's going to make me vomit, and we're going to hear about him all the time.
As if we don't already.
Yeah, I know. I was telling Andy Huggins last night as we were watching the draft, and the Lakers got the second pick. I said, if I'm the Lakers, as soon as I get that second pick and I know that it's probably going to be Ball, I'm sending a letter right now to his dad and saying, you are barred from the premises.
No question.
You are not allowed to be here. Period. End of story. And if you know what's best for your kid, you'll stay out of the media. Like I would sit down and have a stern talking to with that guy.
I've told you guys before about just different situations regarding different younger players that their parents were like overbearing.
Yeah.
And it's not out of the realm of possibilities that an organization would send out some kind of a message to the parents that says, you know, and the Texans dealt with this with David Carr's dad too, where they just said, okay, bottom line is, no, you're not going to be at practice every day. No, you can't meet with the coaching staff after every single game your son doesn't play or doesn't get the exposure that you want him to. And you have to shut it down. So even Magic coming out and saying, well, his dad's not going to alter our decision-making in terms of the draft and what we do, it better alter the fact that before it even gets started that you shut it down.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think anyone would, you know, hold it against the Lakers if they did it. I don't know. You think Magic does that? You think he tries to establish a relationship with the dad, which would also be one of the worst things that could happen, because then that dad says, well, you know, I have access to Magic Johnson now. And
I mean, even if they don't set the relationship, you set the standards and the guidelines and just say, look, you know, you and I can talk every now and then, or, you know, you can hit me up on the phone, but you're not going to be at practice every day, and you're not going to be hounding our coaching staff.
Yeah.
And you're not going to have a say in how we use your son. Because here's the other thing. You know, the top three players in the draft, and even more specifically the top two, are Fultz of Washington and Ball. Both of them are guards.
Right.
The Lakers have a lot of guards, which means if they are going to take Ball and make him their point guard of the future, they probably have to make some moves because they have a glutton of guards, including, you know, a former number one pick in D'Angelo Russell that teams are now inquiring about already because they see the writing on the wall and go, if you're going to take Ball, you got to move him.
Yeah.
So some people think that they're going to be able to snatch him up at a good price.
Who do you think he or would be interested? I guess San Antonio.
No, because he's too young.
Okay, so I think they're going to look for a veteran like Chris Paul or Kyle Lowry or something like that.
Initially, without really putting too much thought into it, but a team that needs a young point guard, Milwaukee.
Yeah,
you put Milwaukee with Jabari Parker and the Greek Freak and Chris Middleton and all these young guys, and you're like, now you've got a young athletic point guard that can score. That fits right in with them. That's just one possibility.
Yeah.
The Knicks. The Knicks need a young point guard to go with Porzingis.
How killer is Boston going to be with that backcourt?
Yeah. The only problem is that because I guess Isaiah Thomas is a point guard.
But Fultz can play either, right? Like he can play Avery shooting Bradley's guard
your
or
two.
Or,
yeah. I guess he's going to be your sixth man.
Bradley?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I think Fultz, he could. You know, he'll probably be the shooting guard. I think you have to let Isaiah Thomas run that offense, be the point guard, a scoring point guard. You know, I mean, he'll look to get his, obviously.
I mean, I don't put it past Boston moving that pick down a couple of spots.
I tweeted it out when I saw the pick, Rich Get Richer. I mean, this is a team that just made it to the Western Conference or the Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah. And now they get the number one pick in the draft. Look at that.
Yep. Danny Ainge did one hell of a job. When we were talking about general managers, yeah, we mentioned him. But you think about the steal that he made in unloading the likes of Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and taking New Jersey picks. That's pretty big.
And then I saw something. This was the first number one pick for the Celtics since 1966.
Yep. And the first time that the two powerhouses that once were, the Lakers and the Celtics.
Picking 1-2.
1-2.
It's crazy. Really? Yeah, and then I saw something that showed a rivalry. Pictures of a rivalry. It was like, where was this? Oh, no, hold on. Because this, I was like, man, you guys are reaching a little bit here. I'll find it at the break. I'll read it. I'll do it after the break. I know we
got
to go.
Cool. All right. We got plenty of show to get to. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776 or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4. And right now I want to tell you about Infuse Energy. It's a locally owned and operated company by Josh Pesikoff and his staff. And I'm telling you right now, it's an energy company that puts you first. It starts right from the phone call, because when you call, you get a human being. It's not an automated system where you press this number to do this number to do that, and then you're on hold with bad music for a long time. There are human beings there, and their main focus is making sure they put you in the right department to get the right things accomplished, like getting an energy plan that fits your professional, business, and or personal needs. They make sure that you're never going to get screwed over to make a buck. It's a relationship with them, and they're building it daily, and it starts with that first contact. They have 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up, you choose a green plan. It offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits. That also helps decrease your carbon footprint, and they make a plan that is going to make sure that it facilitates when you use energy the most. If you're a family and you're not home during the day, but you use a lot nights and weekends, that's what you're going to get. If you're a business and it's the exact opposite, they're going to tailor-made a program for you. All you got to do is get the process rolling. Contact Infuse Energy at InfuseEnergy.com or call 844-INFUSE2. That's 844-463-8732. You mentioned ESPN 97.5. You get a $25 bill credit right off the top. But make sure you get in touch with Infuse Energy today and change your energy ways.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel, till 4, The Usual Suspects, as we continue to roll on after segment 1. Astros rolling on as well. Lance McCullers on a very emotional day, getting out of a jam there in the last inning, and the Astros lead 3-0 in the top of the 7th. Last night, Dallas Keuchel got his 7th win of the year without a loss. Strohs continue to beat the ball around the yard. How about Jake Mariznick?
Yeah.
Getting back at the team that drafted him.
Yeah, two-run homers. Pretty crazy.
And the first one was an absolute rocket. I think they gauged it at like 450.
Yeah.
And both of them hit that god-awful, gaudy thing in the outfield.
Yeah. But, I like that it was Dallas Keuchel's shortest outing of the year. He only threw 70 pitches. Yeah. He gets the win. He gets some rests. He doesn't have to, you know.
Were you concerned? When he came out, I needed something from the dugout that said, he's not hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
We just got a big enough lead.
I mean, not really. It was just good. I mean, I kind of figured being up by that much that they're saving his arm. I mean, I was hoping that the same thing would be true with Lance McCullers, that they could jump out to a 6-0 lead and let that dude rest for a while too, because that's the one that worries me more from an innings pitch perspective is McCullers versus Keuchel. Right. But I was looking up some of Keuchel's numbers. He's actually right, because Keuchel is at his best when he's getting ground balls. I think everybody knows that. And when you look at his ground ball percentages from the Cy Young year to last year to this year, he's actually doing better this year percentage-wise than he was the year he won the Cy Young. So if that's his bread and butter and that's how he gets people out and that's what's going to make him a good pitcher, he's right now, he's at almost 67% ground ball rate. Well, he was 63 and the year he won the Cy Young.
And to your point, I don't know how much you saw it while you were working last night, but they did that color code graphic for all of his different pitches and where he is in the zone. The brightest red spots were all over the corners in the lowest part of the strike zone. He has been living down there, and as long as you live down there, he's going to keep you in ball games, and a lot of good things are going to happen. And you think about it, he should be 8-0. He blew that game where he was trying for the complete game and was coasting along and then loaded the bases and then all hell broke loose. And they did end up winning it, but he lost a surefire win there if he doesn't pitch the ninth. So he should be 8-0.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The year that he – the last year when he went 9-12, his ground ball percentage was 56%.
Wow.
So, yeah, 10% higher. And it shows. It's a much different, you know. He started off 7-1 in 2015. So even if he were to lose his next start, he would equal that start the year that he won the Cy Young. So all signs point to Dallas Keuchel's back. I said a couple weeks ago, after his last start, I feel like, you know, because we had asked the question back and forth before, is he back? I think you can say he's back now.
For sure.
I mean, pitching out of jams and not giving up big innings, so good for him.
Man, I held my breath because Altuve went out later after that, no one had any answers. And you and I had just talked about the two times where we thought something was wrong with him. I'm like, good Lord, don't with the best start in franchise history, the role that they're on right now. I saw that the Rangers are on like an 8-game winning streak, and they've gained a half game. They were 8.5 out when it started.
Thing.
They're still 8 out. It is. It's everything's lined up. And the last thing I wanted to think about was, oh God, now Keuchel and Altuve, but thankfully both of them are okay.
Yeah. And then what I also like is the fact that they're so far up and they're winning series. Like, it's great if you could sweep the Marlins, but the fact that you came in and won the series again, another series that you've won. So this game isn't a must win for, you know, in that regard. Because A.J. Hinch has said all along, we just want to win series. Yeah. That's it. All we want to do is win series. So this game, so now you're getting to see Correa rest. You're seeing George Springer get some rest. You're resting some of these stars because, you know, they faded down the stretch.
They did.
Last year. And you don't want to see that happen again. And it's great to see these guys get some rest early in the season.
You and I have stressed, too, how important it is to win series. Yes, it's nice to string 6-7 games in a row. But win the series.
Yeah.
The Cubs just got back to 500. They've lost two of their last three series. They've lost a majority of their series in the month of May. And you look back at that, and then you look at what the Astros have been able to do, and the fact that going into last night's game, their records were identical at both home and road. That is so hard to do.
That's a great point. I mean, being 14-6 at home is one thing. Being able to go 14-6 on the road and win 70% of your road games?
And win the series.
Yeah.
Beat the Yankees 3 out of 4. You won the series against the Marlins already.
Yeah.
I mean, the things that they're able to do, people aren't appreciating enough. We get the ass clowns that want to text us saying we're talking too much baseball too early in the season. This is worth talking about.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a team that's, you know, that's 2 or 3 games over 500 and second in the division. This is a team who's winning at a 70% clip. And I know it's been talked about a lot, but if you haven't heard, I saw a graphic this morning on Major League on MLB Network where they said the best 40 game starts in the last 15 seasons. You've got the 2005 Chicago White Sox, which beat the Astros in the World Series. The 2007 Red Sox, which they also won the World Series. The 2010 Rays, who lost in the ALDS, which is such a Houston thing to do. And then the 2016 Cubs, who started 29-11 and won the World Series. So your Astros are in rare company. And that's why this is such a big deal.
No question.
I mean, this isn't just, they're not 25-23.
Especially because they said, you're still not there. You need another starting pitcher or two. You need an ace. There was so many question marks about Keuchel. The Indians are the cream of the crop in the American League and all this. And then it's the Red Sox and then maybe the Astros, although they're supposed to be a playoff team. Instead, you are the number one ranked team in baseball. You have the best record in baseball. Your starting pitching is way better than what you thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And though there's probably still in the market for a pitcher, and we had Buster Olney on who said that they probably should still get one and they need to, where do you complain about anything right now?
Yeah, I was it's so funny. I was driving home last night listening to the game, and I wasn't home yet, so the call-in show comes on. And Matt Thomas was back on the call-in show because he does the Rockets, and so he was finally back. And I remember driving around in years past listening to Matt Thomas. He gets so pissed off at the drunk callers.
Yep.
He gets so angry, which is hilarious to me. I love listening to him get mad. And this one guy called and was like, Matt, they left 8 runners on base, man. This isn't good. And Matt Thomas was like, are you serious? They just scored 12 runs. Why do you care if they left 8 on base? Well, what if this was 1-0? It wasn't.
Right.
And he's just like losing his mind, and I'm laughing so hard because I feel his pain in a way. You know what I mean? We do this. I feel his pain. But at the same time, I'm just cracking up because he lets the caller go, and then he goes, That's the dumbest call I've ever heard, Houston. That is the dumbest call. Like, he's so mad.
Like, he gets riled up all the time.
Yeah.
But it used to be like they used to have code words, and they'd lead him in and down a path where he thought they were going to talk baseball, and then they'd just say something ridiculous that was on one of the code words, and he would be like, all right, I'm not taking any more calls then. I'm not going to take another one of you tonight if you're going to do this. Now he's still getting mad, and it's legitimately about at least baseball stuff because they're winning games.
It's hilarious, though, man.
And for those of you that feel bad for Matt, don't. Because he has a studio set up in his house.
Yeah.
He's got an ISDN line. I always kidded him when he did Rockets post games too, and Astros. He does it in fuzzy footed pajamas with a warm milk and cookies at his night's bedstand table. It ain't that hard.
I enjoy me a nice Matt Thomas meltdown after an Astros
they're great.
Game.
They're
pretty
classic.
Sweet.
And love MT.
I know we got to get to that thing where I was saying about the Lakers and Celtics, and I'll have that as well. But then I also wanted to talk about something Astros related in regards to the All-Star game.
Okay.
Would it surprise you if I said the Astros may not have a single All-Star
starting lineup? Yeah, that would surprise
me. We'll go through it.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah. Also, Max Kellerman of ESPN and HBO joins us. He'll talk about a big fight coming up this weekend at the Garden, as well as break down with some really deep thoughts on one James Harden. A great interview coming up with Max Kellerman. We have that and a whole lot more coming up. Right now, I want to tell you about Gallery Furniture. Gallery Furniture right now has their 36th anniversary sale going on. That means you buy $3,000 worth of Gallery Furniture. You get 36% off your purchase price back in free accessories. So you buy $3,000 worth of furniture, you get $1,080 worth of lamps, pictures, mirrors. Buy $3,000 worth of bedroom furniture during Gallery's 36th anniversary sale, 36% back in free accessories. Come into Gallery Furniture in one of their three locations, Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, down in the Galleria, right there at Post Oak and Westheimer, and of course the mainstay I-45 North exit Tidwell Parker both ways. You're in the market to buy a full house full of furniture. You want to furnish your house like I did mine with nothing but Gallery Furniture? Well, you don't want the hassles of backorder slips. Most furniture companies are going to tell you it's going to be 3, 6, or 9 weeks before they can deliver your furniture. You buy today, you get it tonight. That's how Gallery works. Beautiful, American-made living room, dining room, and bedroom furniture. Choose the world's largest stock of Tempur-Pedic regular or adjustable sleep sets. You buy a room full of house or a house full of furniture. Gallery delivers in 3 to 4 hours, and you get the money back in accessories. Buy your room or house full of furniture at Gallery Furniture because Gallery really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick summarizing his love life, when a man loves a woman, as he pulls out another hit of the past that he was not alive to experience when it first came out, and that should be a blessing.
But they consistently played this jam for a while.
That's jam. True.
For like jam, throughout the 80s, 90s.
It's been a lot of movies.
That's true. That is true.
Yes.
Nick, what's your second favorite Percy Sledge song?
Hey, by the way, I messed up.
Gloss right over that.
Actually, when I Googled that song, I figured it'd be in the 80s. I didn't think it'd be in this category.
Really?
I didn't think it'd be a 60s song.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
A lot of songs are remakes from
like 10 times over.
50s, 60s, and 70s.
I was looking at Billboard, and there's like, they did the top 200 of all time. And I think on the top 200, there were at least three songs that were remade 2 to 3 times.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
It's a fact.
Okay, I got some housekeeping to do.
Yeah, go ahead.
So we'll do the Astros All-Star thing next. But real quick, I had teased this like two breaks ago, so I wanted to do it. Somebody tweeted to me, or I saw somebody tweet out, after the Celtics got the first pick in the NBA draft and the Lakers got the second pick in the NBA draft, they said, Lakers-Celtics rivalries, Chamberlain versus Russell, Magic versus Bird. Mm-hmm. Kobe versus Pierce. Mm. Huh? And now Ball versus Fultz. No. All right, you need to delete that tweet.
Last two are ridiculous.
First of all, Kobe versus Pierce. What? No.
I mean, most anybody that's just the average basketball fan is going to tell you the last time the Celtics-Lakers rivalry was pertinent was back in the Bird, Magic, McHale, Rambis, you know, with Showtime Lakers, with Worthy and those guys.
Yeah. So who would be
Kobe's natural rival?
Shaq.
Good point.
Kobe had my ass taste. That was the beginning.
By the way,
that was the beginning of the rivalry right there.
Yeah.
I don't know who would it be.
Because I've heard stories and I've talked to some of the guys involved, but they said like if they could have just kept their own locker room in order, there was nobody in the league that could have touched them. But they said in the Detroit Championship Series, like every night they didn't even want the media near the locker room door because you could hear everybody just screaming at each other at the top of their lungs pregame and postgame.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
It was just inmates gone crazy.
Would Jordan be?
I don't think so.
No?
Because they never really squared off. Did they won finals?
Yeah.
Is that the one where with the Jordan switching hands in midair? But that was still when they had... Wasn't that AC Green that he switched hands in midair on?
Ooh, I don't know.
You know the one I'm talking about where he goes up to the right and goes to the left?
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought that was AC Green that he did that on. So I'm not even sure Kobe was involved in that one. But I'm like, at the time when Kobe was on the rise, and Jordan's in the East too. So
yeah, and Kobe was coming off the bench at the time that they played. But there was those comparisons. There's always been, right? And I don't think you could say LeBron. I think Shaq, really and truly. I think Shaq would probably be his biggest. Okay. So we talked about the Astros and the All-Star voting because they're going to start ramping up on that. You're going to start to see that all the time if you go to the ballpark or you're on their website or whatever. And I was thinking about this yesterday that they're getting contributions from everybody, but nobody's really standing out statistically. You have your stars and your budding stars, right? Like, you know, Altuve is your star,
right?
And Correa is a budding superstar. And then you have, you know, the potential in Bregman and Gurriel and some of these guys to be adequate to, you know, really good major leaguers. There's no one. And I took the time to look all this up. You could make a case for voting for anyone other than an Astro at every position on the diamond. And I'm excluding pitchers, by the way. And I think Dallas Keuchel would probably be the starter at this point. But
it's like between him and Sale, right?
Yeah. At the catcher position, Salvador Perez is putting up better numbers than Brian McCann.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At first base, you have Yonder Alonso and Logan Morrison are both putting up really good numbers, and your Gurriel is probably not even like top five from hitting.
But his average is up there, right?
Yeah, but you got to look at home runs, OPS. Sure, sure. I mean, it's more than just batting average. I've been like what I used to judge this was power numbers, OPS, and WAR. So it's kind of a better overall than just average, right? Now, if there were guys that were close, like stolen bases or whatever, obviously that's going to matter. If you look at second base, you would think, oh, Altuve for sure is the starter. Actually, Starling Castro was having a fantastic first
Stroh's
half
witnessed
so far.
It firsthand.
Yeah, that dude is balling, and so is Robinson Cano. It's just that he's on a crappy team out on the West Coast, but Robinson Cano is putting up really good numbers as well. At third base, you've got Sano, Longoria, Machado. I don't even think that Alex Bregman is in the top five.
Right.
At shortstop, okay, this is the one area or the one position where I think it could be close. Because Correa, he leads in OPS and he leads in WAR. But if you look at his numbers, Francisco Lindor is putting up better numbers than Correa is
right
now.
That's where I was going.
More runs, a few less RBIs. He's got four more home runs. And he's got, you know, the OPS is about the same. So you can make a case where Francisco Lindor might get the nod over Correa.
Yeah.
But that's the closest battle.
I was thinking about it last night watching the game, too, going after, especially the way Lindor played against the Astros. And I'm going, man, I'll tell you what, how unfortunate for Correa to be having the kind of year he's having. But Where in Lindor, the past years, they were like, this is the best up-and-coming shortstop with the potential to be like Hall of Fame, they were already talking about.
Yeah.
And then you look at Lindor, smaller in stature, but man, does he get some pop in his bat.
Yeah, and even Elvis Andrews is putting up some good numbers. He's right there in the mix.
Is he really?
Those two. Yeah, he's right there in the mix with those two guys. In the outfield, you would think, George Springer. Well, don't forget, Mike Trout and Aaron Judge are your first two.
Right.
They're for sure going to start. Lorenzo Cain is balling. You've got Justin Upton putting up some pretty good numbers. Mookie Betts, that dude is balling. There's several guys ahead of George Springer, but I could see George Springer getting the nod if he can continue this based on the start that he had. He did have the injury. He sat out a few games. That kind of hurt him. But if he can put up the kind of numbers that he did in the beginning, he should be a third or fourth starter, a third starter, or you know, the first outfielder off the bench or whatever. But right now, it might be Trout, Judge, and Lorenzo Cain.
How much does teams winning and success have to do with that? Because I was thinking what you were thinking. I was looking at it last night going, God, this could be a year where the Astros get three or four All-Stars. But the problem being is, of those three or four, maybe Keuchel's the only shot at starting.
Yeah, this is. I mean, and then DH, it's either going to be Corey Dickerson or Nelson Cruz.
Right.
Gattis isn't doing quite enough. I would say Nelson Cruz at this point would probably be the starting DH. But yeah, it's so when you look at it, it's a team of really good players and guys that could be stars or whatever, but no one's standing out statistically right now because we've been talking about the fact that this team really hasn't put it all together from a hitting perspective. All these guys aren't hitting to their potential. They're doing it in spurts, and they're picking each other up. And if one guy's struggling, you don't notice it because the rest of the team is doing well. Marwin Gonzalez is carrying them. Marwin Gonzalez isn't getting a starting nod at first base in the All-Star game. That's just not going to happen. But, you know, these guys are putting up decent numbers, but none that stand out. So I just found it. I started thinking about it, and I wanted to look it up. And, yeah, you could potentially have the best team in baseball with the best record, to your point, no All-Stars. And because I don't think record comes into play. I think you look at it individually. One, it's a popularity contest, which is why I think in the outfield, Mookie Betts is going to be the third outfielder.
Right.
I think it'll be Trout, Judge, and Betts.
I think you're probably right.
So if Correa doesn't get it, you may not have a starter from the best team in baseball to the All-Star break, assuming that they don't collapse between now and then. Pretty
and
crazy.
Again, people, like the MVP race, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
If it happens that way, don't worry about it. Worry more about team goals and team achievements and the fact that, yeah, you got to – it's fun to be able to argue each and every one of those guys that Barry just mentioned because of the fact that your team is doing so well. But at the end of the day, don't sweat it because your team has the best record in baseball and they really look like they're in for the long haul. So, enjoy the hell out of this so we can talk about it every single day for the next couple of months just to make people happy around here.
Yeah, you know what I did? I was getting love on Twitter. Somebody was – it was an Astros account and then – somebody was going, they were all talking about how, oh, I can't wait for Sports Talk Radio in Houston to talk about NBA playoffs tomorrow with the Astros. And somebody tagged and said, no, you need to listen to ESPN 97.5. Barry and Joel talked Astros quite a bit. So yeah, appreciate the love, guys.
We both were getting a lot of love last night on Twitter. All right, so we continue to roll on. Nick is now rescuing.
Smart ass.
And Nick's got the first hour of Way Back Wednesday as we went pre-1970s Waybacks. So Nick with hour number one, doing a nice job trying to put together a list when he wasn't even born. So embryonic Nick has done a great job of constructing a list. Barry and I is to follow. But again, Max Kellerman coming up. We interview him about the big fight this weekend and some other things and plenty more to get to. So if you want to join us, hit us up on the HRNP listener line where you can call or text 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Nick, Joel, Barry. Usual Suspects till 4. Always appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Already getting tweets, texts. Still waiting on some calls, but must be the weather.
Yeah. First of all, I got retweeted or someone replied to one of my tweets just randomly to from a long time ago. It was obviously, well, I think it's legit. It's from Margie Salisbury. And Margie's profile is pretty hot. Like, she's in a bikini. She's got a stomach tat, which I'm 50-50 on a stomach tat. She got a sleeve tat. But then it says, "Hello, winky face. I'm looking for a sex. Find me, check." And then it has a link.
You get a lot of that.
Well, it's because I'm hot.
I think it's because you're playing around with porn.
It's legit. No, I use incognito mode, bro. I'm not a fool. What am I, new?
You obviously forget to put it in incognito sometimes.
What am I, new? No.
There's a trail.
I'm straight up incognito mode. But yeah, you always know it's not legit when it says, "I'm looking for a sex." I'm looking for a sex. I'm looking for a sexin'. Let's have some sexin'. And then I was looking at all of her tweets, and they're just, "Oh my God, are you serious? Waiting for it so long. Ah, that's awesome. Really awesome. Are you serious? Oh my God. Ah, that's awesome." It's like, okay, and these are all just replies to random people. It's like, it's pretty obvious it's some dude in India just trying to spam people. We also got some texts. Somebody said, "I just left the station to pick up something I won on the radio yesterday. And in walks Barry Warner in Crocs and shorts. What a bum."
They're not lying.
Yeah,
that's every day.
He's in. Yeah, that's every day. Is he doing a show right now, Nick?
He is.
Why is he doing a show, and why aren't you producing it?
So we got preempted by the Skeeters doubleheader. I believe they're playing, or they're running a broadcast in the morning and in the evening. And so when Skeeters play, reality check goes.
Okay.
So John came up with the idea. Why don't we, you know, if he wants, we can hook him up with an hour on the air at one.
So we're competing with him right now.
Yep.
We're going blow for blow with him. Can we pull up his show?
I worry about that, man.
You what? That we're losing?
Head up to Barry Warner.
To
right
a legend.
Now.
Can we pull up his show? Can you? How long does that take?
Right now. I mean, I can play it right now if you want.
I want to hear what he's saying. I want to see what we're up against. Are they at a commercial? Do you know?
Let me see. Hold on.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, because that would be bad. I don't want to run whatever commercials they get over there. It's probably something sad.
Yeah, so we can play the tail end of the last segment, or we can just wait till they get back from commercial.
Are they going out right now?
They're in commercial. They're in commercial.
Oh, they're in commercial?
Yeah,
let's just monitor that when they come back. I want to hear it, because they're about to be off the air, right?
You can only take Barry in small doses, which is why he only does an hour a day.
I want to hear how he comes back from his last segment. I want to see what we're up against.
As soon as they get back from break, it'll be this segment. So.
Okay, good. Yeah. And then we got another text where somebody said, "Hey, Barry, why don't you do any ad plugs? Is it because people find you annoying?"
Jeez.
I like that one.
No.
Nick.
You dick. And I do have ad plugs. Thank you very much. I've got Gulf State Home Buyers. We've been doing the BBVA. Is something new that popped up this week. And Nexen. Then Shock is working on a deal right now. So, Nexen is.
You're great at the giveaways.
What a dick.
The giveaways and the Nexen liners.
Yeah. So, that's their answers that question. What was I going to ask you, Joel? Joel, I had a question for you, Joel.
He always going to yell when he comes back, too.
Is he?
Nick, you have to really work the controls with him, because when he comes back from a break, today what we're talking about, Nick, we're talking about the 1970s Oilers. Before I was a scout with the Buffalo Bills.
I know what I wanted to ask you about. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, let's go. I was just doing a Barry.
This 3-on-3 thing. Can we talk about this for a second?
Oh, yeah. Another competition that you've created for us to
participate. I didn't create this. I got drug into this on Twitter. Ashton is a producer on the network side, right?
Correct.
And he's put together a team of scrubs. Who is his team?
So it's Joe George.
Oh, my God. Joe George, the least athletic guy at a sports radio station. and Ashton is the fattest. And
Matt, Matt Harrow.
Joe Who is George that guy? Is less athletic than Trey?
Oh, yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Nope. Totally. Trey could wrestle a bear. Who's the third guy?
He does.
Matt
Harab,
who does updates. He's a sports anchor. Flash anchor.
What does he look like? Have I ever seen
this
taller,
guy? He's thinner. He's not fat by any stretch.
Oh, so he's tall. So he's their ringer?
He's probably the tallest person. He's probably not taller than Joel, but he's tall. Game the over. Tallest person on that team.
Okay, so we've established that you're going to... Do you want to guard Joe George?
It doesn't bother me.
So you're going to guard the tall guy, Matt,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Joel?
Yeah.
You're going to guard Joe George, and I'm going to guard Ashton. Because, one, I'm not worried about him running. He won't run.
Although you he's do have be, to worry about him putting you in the low post.
Yeah, no. I have a feeling. Are you kidding me? He would have to move down to the low post to do that. He's pretty much going to be set shot 3-point guy. I have a feeling that's his game. And I'm good with that.
Nick is really worried about Ashton.
Is he?
Yeah, he's.
I'm not worried. I am. I think he's in better shape than you think. Yeah, he's back. You want to?
Yeah, is Barry back? Let's do this. What does he sound like?
Now, here it is. Right now.
Oh, wait. My bad. Hold on.
What the hell?
You thought that was Barry and that was a commercial for ED.
They're still running? How many commercials do they have?
He's got to have at least 6 EDs in there. ED spots
that's
per
all
show.
All it is erectile dysfunction. Yeah.
So Nick
and
has this
clogged
deep voice
arteries.
Thinks it was worn. It's like, are you having problems in the bedroom?
It just goes.
Or maybe by that time, the president will have a wall. Oh, no, the president's got bigger things to worry about, like leaking classified
Trump?
Information yeah. and
building a wall.
Telling an FBI director, look, if I were you, you might want to back off. But that's the subject for Stephen Colbert and other people. I'll try to keep my.
Did he Google all these pop references?
So we'll get back to football.
Oh, football! Let's do it, Barry.
It's football season.
Wolf folk.
Hard to forget, big dude.
Did he say wolf folk?
Got $10 million for signing here.
Did he say wolf folk?
$500,000 a season for playing football. $4,500,000.
Oh my God! Turn this off. No. That was a terrible experiment.
Wow. He's deep into
football.
He's
talking about Vince Wilfork. For what?
Because Vince still hasn't made up his mind if he's coming back or not.
No one cares. Everyone's
there's a poster
moved on.
There. Put Barry and Vince Wilfork in just overalls. And just...
That'd be that hilarious. Be good.
Houston proud.
Yeah, that would not be good.
You talk about some man boobs.
That's
just Barry.
No, the belly button is what you missed out on.
Yeah, I got enough of it off
I didn't
Twitter.
See it, thank God. But the fact, the way Barry was describing it that day was cracking me up.
Ugh.
So Joe George, by the way, is into this. He thinks he got screwed on the team to play us.
Uh-huh.
But he's like, we should get social media involved. We're going to play this indoors. He's got all these different things he's already breaking out. I'm like, I'm good with all that, bro. Whatever you want to do. We can go to my gym. He goes, well, I can get passes for my gym. I said, I don't care. I said, but bottom line is that if you're really going to take this seriously and do this, we're not going to lose.
You're worried?
Are you worried?
He's like, I need some help around me.
We're already talking mass enough.
I need some more depth on the team.
Can I coach?
Bro, I guarantee if you go to half court and pull that hook shot thing, that's going to be a problem.
That would be hilarious.
I'm not going to panic like that.
And I guarantee you won't be laughing, Mr. That would be hilarious if it's a close game.
I mean, you just got to keep me on my feet. I just might fall.
Yeah,
once or twice, but
you
other
fall
than that,
down a lot.
No,
you
have I don't
a newborn
worry about
baby
that.
Deer
oh, you—that's
basketball?
Right. Offensively, you may fall down.
What?
Yeah,
I fell once.
Oh,
he brought it up.
So
not me.
Yeah, so okay, so you're gonna play on the low block, Joel. Right? You're our center.
Look, he's got to be. I mean, he's what are you 6'3"?
Wait. But on you've seen me play. Do you think that I'm best suited for our team to play the low block?
Yeah, but
yeah, you're gonna have the big guy.
Center shoot on the perimeter too.
I'm gonna pull that. I'll pull that guy out so that you guys can help me get rebounds.
Stretch five. Nick, are you gonna bring the ball up?
I don't know. I'd rather just. That's a lot of work, dude. Can you
we're
bring the ball
half
up?
Court.
I'd rather be a two.
But we're playing half court. It doesn't matter.
Joel's going to have to do everything. He's going to have to bring the ball up, pass it to himself, down low, set his own pick. I'm not going to get banged up. I'm not hurting my knees. Are you crazy?
Oh, my God.
Instead of
this
trying to take up responsibilities,
cluster.
We're trying to avoid responsibilities.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I you don't want me bringing the ball up. I don't have a left hand. I literally can only dribble with my right. I'll go under the legs, but I got to bring it right back to the right hand side again.
Under the legs? What are you going to do? Like when you're in grade school and you pull the leg way up so you can get the ball underneath it?
Yeah, I'll raise it up. You got to raise it up just in case. No, I don't do that.
You just okay?
Oh, because I didn't say between the legs.
Yeah,
we might lose this game.
You know what I meant,
you
Joel.
You better stop right
we
there.
We might lose this game. I'm just saying, with Barry on the squad, we might lose this game.
I think I'm better than you think, but I'm not as good as you would want. How about that? But I told Ashton, he was like, whoa, we're going to play? I was like, bro, I suck. Did you not hear the story about the three-point hook shot? It's he was like, yeah. I was like, but you know what? We'll play. We'll beat your ass.
Joel's literally, I mean, look he's going to be the one that's going to carry the team.
Look at him.
Sure.
They've got a big guy, an athletic guy, and a tall guy, a tall, skinny guy.
Nick's already trolling Ashton.
We're whooping that ass.
He's worried about the rocky workout plan he's on. If he starts drinking raw eggs, it's over. We're in trouble in Nick's mind.
Yeah, we're whooping that ass. This is going to happen. I don't know where, I don't know when, but we're going to whoop that ass.
All right. And Joe wants it.
And he wanted to do it. He was like, yeah, let's do it Monday. No, what? Can I get a couple of warm-up games in?
And literally, no matter how long or short before we actually do this, I can guarantee you will not play in a single warm-up game.
Really?
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go straight out on the floor and start shooting?
Seriously, I would love for you ugly. To do that, but when are you going to find the time and a game, and are you going to get in one?
That's a good question. I may have to go down to the...
You want to put a hoop up and back at one of the comedy shows and see if some guys want to go two
I may
on
have
two?
To, I may have to, after a Sunday show, I may have to go to the neighborhood and at least
elementary
just,
school,
yeah.
Play against some fifth graders and warm
You're damn
up
right.
a little bit.
And
dunk
along
on
comes
them.
Polly. He'll have the rec specs on, the headband.
Somebody had a question. Who's better, Raheel or Joel?
I've played with
I've heard really good things about Raheel. I've never
I've
seen him play.
I've played with Raheel. Somebody he's also, not really a shooter per se, but he's got good handles. He can play.
Somebody wanted to know if Nick's going to get fired because the word dick went out over the air twice. No.
No, we're allowed.
Yeah. We
if
know
you
what we're
knew
doing
Richard,
over here.
You could say it too.
I've been served with a copy of all the words that we can't say and can say on the air.
I know what I can say. We're firmly in the point in the show where we say we've got one in the books, two to go, plenty more shows. So if you want to join us, please feel free. Chime in, 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter with Usual Suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.